Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Right, Jim and Jamal back on the air. And as always, thank you so much for sharing your Sunday with us. Well, Jamal, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fine. Go ahead, Jamal.
Let's not forget, man, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
I was getting ready to express the same thing myself. Happy Mother's Day out there, everybody. Today we're going to be talking about the historical perspective of the pandemics, you guys. There's going to be some interesting things in there that you guys are just not going to believe. So it's a very interesting piece. But before we get into that, you know, again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are out there. I also want to talk about that a little bit further. But before I do that, I want us to remember that this past week was Victory in Europe Day. Now, I know for some of you, you're young out there, you have no idea about it. We have older listeners out there as well. But Victory in Europe Day was 75 years ago. And they had the wreath that was placed by the president, and he had some veterans from World War II, Jamal, that were there. The youngest one there was 96 years old. But that makes sense. This was 75 years ago. Those guys were probably in their late teens and early 20s, you know, still alive. And the newscast to talk about the fact there's still 400,000 World War II veterans alive. I mean, I don't know whether he made a mistake with that, but that's a lot of veterans from World War II that might still be alive. So that was an incredible number. So we want to send a salute out to all of those World War II veterans that are out there as well, if any of them are out there listening, you know. So my dad is one. Yeah, he's 93, so he's not necessarily listening to the radio show today, but he's a World War II vet. So we'll send a salute out to everybody. The other thing is, Jamal, I don't know if you're aware of it, but this week is also the National Police Officers Week also. So we want to send a message out there. As usual, you guys, you know how I am about law enforcement. Send that message out there that these people are responders also, and they need to be respected. And I know you've heard me say all of that. So keep them in mind this coming week coming up. But I got to tell you, Jamal, do you know when Mother's Day got started?
No, you know that
we all celebrate it.
We always celebrate, but I have no idea where it started.
It actually started in West Virginia in 1908. So I wanted to give the listeners, because, you know, it's Mother's Day and people just celebrate it. You know, we're like sheeple. We just follow. You know, we just go, oh, it's Mother's Day, it's Valentine's Day, it's this, it's that. But Mother's Day actually started in 1908 in West Virginia by a lady by the name of Anna Jarvis. Now, the reason why she celebrated that day, made a big deal out of it, was to honor her mother who had just died that year. And then she's the one that pushed to have a holiday recognized. She pushed it for a number of years. And then finally, in 1914, Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation making Mother's Day the second Sunday of May. Now, here's what happened. When he did that, all of the profiteers started making money. Mother's Day cards, the flowers, the candy. This lady got upset because to her, it was not supposed to be a money-making, you know, event. But when you think about it, cards, flowers, candy, etc. Well, people, if it's Mother's Day and people are recognizing that, what were you giving your mother other than giving your mother the praise? I mean, let's face it, the mothers have to be acknowledged. But the reason why she did it and thought and pushed it for Mother's Day is that she merely wanted mothers recognized for the sacrifices mothers make for their children. So she thought that was important. Now, I don't know the dynamics between her and her mother, and her mother had passed. I don't know whether there were some regrets there or something. Or maybe her mother had made a lot of, you know, sacrifices for her. I don't know. But, she got really upset, and she actually brought a lawsuit to stop the commercial you know, aspects of Mother's Day. But as you see, that didn't work. Because here we are now, years later, it's a big deal. I mean, flowers, candy, whole nine yards, breakfasts, you know, buffets, brunches. I'm sorry, Jamal, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, you would think she'd be excited that something that she started has blown up to be something so huge and monumental.
Well, sometimes when people take personal pride for things, Jamal, and they have their concept of it, they want to stay within the concept that they had in their minds. But, you know, that's not something that you could really, you know, hold back. I mean, fine, we're going to be celebrating Mother's Day, so people naturally for Mother's Day are going to do something special, and that could include flowers. Right. I mean, that's something she should have thought about, quite frankly. Now, you know, this Mother's Day is kind of hampered by the pandemic in terms of taking people out to brunch and all those kind of things. There's a whole lot of people losing money out there, but the event that we have normally for Mother's Day, we can't even do it. You know, so, you know, Brenda, she likes IHOP. IHOP is closed, you know. So what do we do? We called an order in to IHOP. As a matter of fact, when we were there, this one guy walked in and got all upset because he had placed his order and he wanted to walk in. And it's all by takeout, of course. But here's another example of people not acting, you know, right, you know, behaving, so to speak. He gets upset because his order wasn't ready. Well, they were backed up on the orders, as you can well imagine, for Mother's Day. IHOP, you know, to take out an order. So he got upset and started cursing out the lady who was trying to tell him, hey, calm down. We're just trying to get everybody, you know, served, basically. And he ended up walking out. But he didn't do himself any justice, at least not his wife or whoever, you know, because of the fact that now he's walking home without any breakfast for her. So who knows? Right. At any rate, happy Mother's Day out there, you guys. Hope you're all being treated the right way. And let's get moving into some other things. Got these emails that we need to talk about. I try to pick out emails that are – well, let me just get started on this one. Jim, your call-in listener last week made a comment about the Me Too Much movement and speaking about the Too situation with the allegations out there. I think he has a point, because as a single man dating, I have to tell you that the whole movement has made me very cautious when around women. I would never intentionally do anything out of line, but these days, intent may not be a factor. Gender roles can be reversed very, very easily now. I mean, who pays for the dinner check, a peck on the cheek at the end of the night, a gentle hug, or now you can't even shake hands? Anyway, just wanted to put my two cents in. Larry from Cincinnati, Ohio. You know, he's making a very good point, Jamal. I mean, we've heard some of this, how the Me Too movement has changed some things for people. Even in the work environment, as you know, we're trying to advise clients about some of this. You know, every little thing you got to be careful about now. I mean, don't you agree with that?
I agree. And I think he's looking at this the wrong way, man, because I think he should start taking advantage of these opportunities and split the bills when it comes to dating and stuff like that. You know, you take a young lady out to dinner, you know what I'm saying? You want to respect their wishes and make sure they pay half that bill, you know
what
I mean?
Wait a minute, Jamal. Wait a minute now. what are you talking about, make the women? Let me tell you something. He going to stay single with that attitude, brother. Let me just tell you.
Hey, split the bill. Right, man. You pay the equal amount of the bill.
What you just gave me a flashback to when I was in college. I was on a double date with one of my fraternity brothers. And, I never even thought anything about this. Now, the lady that I had out to dinner that night, her father was a general for SAC. You know SAC? Strategic Air Force Command? Okay, well, that's the huge – it has to do with intelligence and watching the global things going on. It's called SAC, okay, Strategic Air Command. Okay. This was her daughter when I'm out. So I'm out here trying to make a little impression, and I'm out here with my fraternity brother, you know, and he's got his date. Jamal, the bill comes. Now, he and I agreed that we were going to split the bill. Okay, so let's make that clear. He picks up the bill and turns to his date and says, see now, you had the, I'm just going to paraphrase here, you had the iced tea, you had the this and that. He's giving her the rundown for her to pay her part of his bill. Now, And so, Jamal, you're talking about early 1970s. So this whole issue about splitting a check, not splitting a check, you want to talk about somebody embarrassed. I never grew up that way. That was the first time I had even experienced something like that. Now, this is what, 40 years later, 50 years, whatever the heck it is.
Right.
You know, years later now. And now this right. issue about who should split the check. Now, I think that splitting checks, that's something that should probably be determined beforehand, I would imagine. You know, but if you ask a person out on a date, you're the one that's doing the asking. I would think that you're gonna pick up the check. You don't agree with that?
No, I'm old fashioned. You raised me right. Let's make that clear. Yes, I normally pay for the bill and stuff
normally,
like that.
That means you don't. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, my man had an issue and about the Me Too movement. So when the bill comes, I think he heard her voice saying, "Me too. I'll pay for the bill. Me too."
I don't think so, Jamal. Me too. I'm going to chip in. I don't think that's the way that works, really. I can't imagine, you know. Now, look, don't get me wrong. There's times when I went out that I was taken out to dinner and the bill was paid, you know, by my date, so to speak, you know. Brent has done that. I mean, hey, let's go out to dinner or whatever. So, I mean, I understand. Right. But when you start talking about the dating scene and that matter has not been discussed, you know, beforehand, I think that makes a big difference. Makes a big difference. Now, you know, most guys have that expectation. They take you out to dinner. This guy's talking about a peck on the cheek. He's not sure what they're even able to do anymore. Well, I would say one thing for sure is don't have an expectation just because I took you out to dinner. That it's going to be, you know, expecting anything more than that. Not these days, anyway. Well, that was in any time, to be perfectly honest. But at any rate, well, Larry, I don't know what to tell you, man. You know, just hang in there. Do the best you can is the bottom line. And hopefully it'll work out for you. Any words of wisdom for Larry, Jamal?
Good luck, Larry.
At any rate, let's keep moving. Okay, Jim, well, as you have put it, another senseless killing based on emotions. I'm talking about the security guard who got shot and killed because he told a family member of the killers that a face mask was required to enter the store. Senseless. I hope they catch them. Alice, Kansas City, Kansas. Well, Alice, first of all, just in case there's some listeners out there that haven't heard about what happened, this was in Flint Ridge, Michigan, and it happened, I think it was on the 8th, as a matter of fact. Oh, no, a few days ago. At any rate, well, first of all, Alice, let me just tell you that they did, in fact, catch them. Okay, so let's start with that. And anyways, what happened was a woman, Jamal, goes to a Family Dollar store. And I guess when they get to the Family Dollar store, the mother was wearing a mask, but the 24-year-old daughter wasn't. So then I guess the security guard approached him and said, "I'm sorry, but I'm paraphrasing here. You know, you have to have a mask to come into the store." Now, this is Michigan. So the governor of Michigan has said in order to be there, you have to have a mask entering into these stores, okay, which is part of the directives that a lot of the states are going on. Okay, so I guess the mother of the 23-year-old woman gets upset and starts arguing with the guy, and she actually spits on the guy and leaves the store. She goes home to her husband and her son, okay? And her husband was the stepdad to her son, so the stepson and stepdad. These two go back up to the store and wanted to know who had disrespected this woman. Now, she's the one that got upset. She's the one that, you know, had the projectiles coming out of her mouth, you know, in terms of saliva. I don't like the other word. But anyway, so when the security guard says, "Well, yeah, I mean, I'm the one that had the conversation with her," the son, which is the stepson, pulls out a gun and shoots the guy in the head, shoots the security guard in the head. He died a few days later. And of course, they flee. Now, Alice, just to let you know that the shooter actually got caught. All right. He got caught in Michigan, in the area. The father, which is his stepfather, or the husband of the lady, he turns around and gets two friends, I guess, a man and a woman, to drive him secretly to Houston, Texas. He gets down to Houston, Texas, and they get a room for him. And see, this is how law enforcement works. People don't understand, you know, this business about law enforcement, the way that we can communicate so quickly. The police receive tips from the Flint area. So that means people in Flint, Michigan, told police that these guys were heading down to Houston. So somebody was dropping a dime. Who knows? They may have had a reward for any information leading to. I don't really know. But people who knew them, obviously, in their plans, actually tipped off the police. So that's how they knew that they were going to be in the Houston area. So they turn around, and this guy gets caught. All right? So he got caught. Now, here's what's going to happen. The father, the son, the stepson, was the actual shooter, and the mother are all being charged with first-degree premeditated murder.
Wow.
The daughter...
All behind not wearing a mask.
All because of not wearing a mask. This is what I talk about on the show when I tell people stay in control of their emotions. Because you're going to actually shoot somebody in the head. He's not going to say it's because of the mask. He disrespected my mother. Who knows what she went home and said? That's the problem sometimes with all these different stories that people go home in the way that they tell the story. Okay? But she goes home and tells him whatever the story was, and he gets mad. You know, they get mad. They go up there. And who knows what she prompted them to do, not do. At any rate, they're looking at, if they get convicted, they are looking at, it's not, I guess there's no death penalty in Michigan, so they'll be looking at life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. And the shooter was only 23 years old, which means he's going to be incarcerated the rest of his life if he gets convicted. Now the two people who drove this guy to Texas, what do you think they're looking at?
Right.
Obstruction of justice, harboring a felon, and accessory to a felony. They're in trouble.
Wow.
And then on top of that, Texas is going to file separate charges against them as well. I don't know what those charges are going to be. At any rate, all of this because they aren't wearing a face mask. At any rate, premeditated murder because they went back up there. Sad.
Man.
So I tell the listeners, I've told the listeners in the past, for those of you that are listeners, who are regular listeners, about control of your emotions. Because I'm telling you let those emotions get in the way, it's going to happen. Anyway, Jamal, brings us to our third and last email, which once again, based on emotions. Jim, I'm curious about your thoughts about the black who was jogging in Georgia. And he shot and killed by a white father and son. The video says it all. I think it was racially motivated. I know you take a middle-of-the-road approach sometimes, but I am curious how you feel about this. From Oakland, California. Leonora, here's the deal. And I don't know if the listeners know about this, but back in February, there was a guy who was jogging. And as he was jogging... And again, this was in Georgia. His name was Mr. Arbery, A-R-B-E-R-Y. He was unarmed. He was just jogging. Well, this man, George McMichael, who's 64 years old, and his son Travis, who's 34, they see him jogging, and then they follow him in their vehicle. Now, here's the problem. They're saying that they thought that he was a suspect for a string of burglaries. Now, how they knew that, thought about that, or anything else, I don't know. But I can tell you that the video... Have you seen the video, Jamal?
Let me jump in and stop you there, because I you're not aware of this, apparently. There's been new video out released about this. Not just the video you saw, the two guys attacking and shooting him.
Okay.
There's actually a couple videos that's been released that apparently Mr. Arbery was actually in a, they called the police on him because he was in a, he entered a construction site, a house that was in a construction zone. And there's actually video of him looking around. There's a couple different angles that, you know, he wasn't jogging, in fact, come to find out that he entered this area.
Really?
So, and then also recently, they also released the fact that he wasn't wearing jogging attire also. He was actually wearing tennis shoes with no socks on. He had cargo shorts on and a regular shirt. Not like a t-shirt you would go jogging in, but a regular shirt. So they're still trying to work out the details. You know what I mean? So, that's what initially caused them to call the police on this guy for burglarizing his house that was under construction.
Here's my problem. Because this person is...
Hello?
You hear that? Yeah, nothing. My laptop is talking and just defined the word problem for me. Why it did that, I have no idea. Right. Jamal, already the news now, they've had these people going to be upset and talking about racism. In the past, I have talked about these things. But I have said that you have to wait for all the facts to come out before you can judge. All right. Now, here's this person that wrote in to think this is a slam dunk situation. And now here you are telling me something that I didn't even know, because when I got the email, I looked it up. I saw it. And I looked it up as early as I think it was yesterday. So I'm not sure when that other video came out. Maybe I just missed it. But that's good information. But here we go. Now is what's going to happen is that these two guys have been arrested. So they're arrested. So now is what's going to happen. Possibly they may, one or two things, either because of these other videos about, are they going to be released? Now, if they get released, you know what's going to happen. Right away, it's going to be, now, if they don't get released and they say, well, you know what? They still may have to stand trial. And I'll tell you why. But let's just say that they do stand trial. And now all the video, all the footage, okay, creates, you know, a reasonable doubt in the jurors, and this guy gets released. Then you know what's going to happen. Politically, people are going to be upset. Oh, this is racism, blah, 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 blah. But the juries are the ones who do have an opportunity of seeing it all, not just seeing little pieces of it. But Jamal, here's my problem, okay? I have told my listeners and the speeches I've given regarding the use of guns by private citizens. These guys, Jamal, did they take the law into their... Who are they to be trailing this guy, stopping this guy?
Agree.
Why can't they just be on the phone with the police, tell them, hey, we're on Route 66, so to speak. Okay, this guy is wherever he is. You follow what I'm saying? We're following him, whatever the case may be. See, they had... This complex to be a hero, okay, because they won't be able to stand. Jamal, they had guns.
Right.
They had guns. It's not like they went home and got guns.
Here's the bottom line, in my opinion. Did the guy do anything warranted that would cause his death for them to kill him like that? And even if it was, and we don't know, I'm not accusing the man of burglary because I don't know. I don't know all the facts and details yet. But even let's say he did commit burglary, does that warrant somebody's death? I mean,
it doesn't, because he's out on a main road, okay? And that's where I say that he could still end up being charged, because of the fact that they still shot and killed him. So they want to say that he assaulted, okay, the son. Well, wait a minute. You can't use that force as greater than the force that's exerted against you. I mean, that's just a general rule from a law enforcement standpoint, you know, from the criminal statutes. So even if that guy had punched his son, they're always going to say, oh, you know what? I was in fear of my life. Now, how could you be in fear? How could they be in fear of their life when there's two of them and they got the guns? So
actually three of them. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
There's actually a third person who was supposed to be videotaping, who videotaped the whole thing.
Oh, I thought maybe they had a camcorder inside of the car or something like that. I don't. Okay, whatever. The point of the story is that, give me a break. The realities are here is that for 2 months, they've been reviewing all of this, and these guys have been arrested. So they may have exceeded, you know, their authority. There may not be murder. They'll probably end up with manslaughter or something. Who knows? I don't see the first degree murder, which some people are going to be unhappy about probably. But either way, we have another situation where we have, which is why this person is writing in, I'm sure, you know, a black person being killed by a white person is right away racism. And who knows the way that these people looked at this guy? I don't know. Okay, because I don't know them. But the realities are, these are the things that become events that get people really upset and excited. You know, already the NAACP down there is talking out against it. They're talking about this is worse than lynching. I mean, here we go. And it could be the guy was, could be, I don't know, could have been guilty of it. But how far did they have to take it? So, you know, what do I think? I think we should leave it up to the authorities and the jury to decide exactly all the facts are. Just the same way, Jamal, that you had to point out to me that there's another video that's out.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
So, we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do this. Let's get into this other piece. I want to talk about this business about this pandemic. Because I got some inquiries, and I was curious myself, quite frankly, about the issue. We went back just in the last 100 years, you know, talked about some of the worst pandemics. But then I got curious. Plus, responses to emails. When exactly did these pandemics actually start? Like, when was the first pandemic? Just out of curiosity. I was curious, right?
Right.
So I turned around and I looked up, Jamal. I got the 20 worst epidemics and pandemics in history. The very first, now I'm telling you, this is interesting. Very first was 3000 BC, Jamal.
Wow.
It was prehistoric. And you'll never guess what country had this pandemic or epidemic, we'll call it, 3000 years ago. Who do you think it was?
Europe.
No.
I don't know.
China. China. Man, I kid you not, man. China.
They can't win.
Man, they cannot win. And I'm going to tell you, it was, here's what it was. They discovered this, okay? It was a 5,000-year-old house in China that was filled with skeletons, and there was evidence of a deadly epidemic, so to speak. It wiped out a whole prehistoric village in China, and the bodies of the dead were stuffed inside of a house that was later burned down. No age group was spared. The skeletons of juveniles, young adults, middle age, they were all found inside this house. So it was the archaeologists, you know, found it, okay? And they call it now Hamin Magha. So that's Hamin, if anybody wants to look it up, and then Mangha. And it's one of the best preserved prehistoric sites in northeastern China. Now, the studies indicate that the epidemic happened quickly enough that there was no time for proper burials, and the site was not inhabited again. So this is a 5,000-year-old village, okay, house, okay? Nobody ever went back to that area, and that's probably why it didn't go from there. But listen to this. Before the discovery of this particular one, there was another prehistoric mass burial that dates to roughly the same time frame that, you know, that was also found, I can't even pronounce this word, it's M-I-A-O-Z-I-G-O-U, in northeastern China as well. And these discoveries suggested that epidemic ravaged the entire region. And this was 5,000 years ago in China. So then I got curious. I'm like, okay, China, hold on a sec. So, like I told you, there's 20 of these, but I'm gonna skip ahead a little bit. They had another one, the Black Death, that was in 1346 to 1353. And that one was, again, where it traveled from Asia to Europe. Just devastated. The estimates they have are that the half of the European population was wiped out. That Black Death, and they say it was caused by a strain of bacteria. And what was it? How was it spread? Fleas on infected rodents. And they said the bodies of the victims were buried in mass graves. Again, it started in Asia and traveled to Europe. Sound familiar? Now, man. I got another one. that was China also. And that was the Asian flu. That was from 1957 to 1958. And that was had to do with chickens. And where did that pandemic start out? In China. That disease, wow. Jamal, claimed more than 1 million lives. And again, wow. It was a virus that went global. You look and you say, okay, that's once again a lie. That disease spread so quickly. It was reported in Singapore in February of 1957, in Hong Kong in April of 1957, and the coastal cities of the United States in the summer of 1957. It spread just as fast as this one. Look at the months that are in there. The death toll, 1.1 million worldwide. How many deaths in the United States? Again, this is 1957, 116,000 deaths.
Wow.
They've been writing about this, Jamal, years and years and years from now. The same way I'm sitting here going through all of this, they're going to have right. this one on this COVID-19. And they're going to be going through right. the same thing that I'm talking about right now with all of these. Now, you have to wonder, how in the heck did a pandemic start 5,000 years ago? And I had one person that's close to me that suggested something. What about meteors that hit the Earth? So there's some outer space, and I don't want to start all of the conspiracy theories, the aliens, and all of this kind of stuff. But 5,000 years ago, what kind of pandemic, how would something like that or epidemic get started like that? Could it have been a meteor that hit the Earth, and maybe there was a germ on it? I don't know. 5,000 right. years, who knows? You know, now, the other thing is that you turn around and say, okay, China is claiming that this went from the wet markets, the Chinese eating things they shouldn't be eating. Well, this was 5,000 years ago. I don't know what they could have been eating things maybe, that, some animal that was infected with something and maybe it spread. I don't know. But in the same right. token, according to these archaeologists, these two places that I just told you about were what? They were both in northeastern China, but the villages were separated. So,
right.
You know, what could that have been? I don't know. What do you think? I mean, that's pretty incredible when you really think about it.
I think we should blow up a whole bunch of cans of Lysol down there to make sure this doesn't spread anymore, man.
You to come up with the easy solution. What are you talking about, Lysol?
Well, they say Lysol kills all bacteria and germs, man.
Yeah, you can't even buy a can of Lysol anymore, man. When was the last time you went to the store? Man, people selling that out so fast.
Yeah, I know, man. But, I mean, why China? I mean, I don't get why does this stuff keep happening out of China from way back here before Christ?
I don't know. That's what I was telling you. I was shocked to see this. The very first one, China.
Right.
You know, I got to tell you, I had to laugh. Now, they also had a plague in Athens, which was 430 B.C. Now, the Parthenon, that was one of the buildings of the Acropolis in Athens. They had a five-year pandemic, pandemic. And it was around 430 B.C., not long after the war between Athens and Sparta. We've seen those things on TV. An epidemic ravaged the people of Athens that lasted for 5 years. The estimates put the death toll as high as 100,000 people. Now, back then, think about how small the populations were. I mean, that's a lot. Now, what exactly this epidemic was has long been a source of debate, but you're not going to believe what they think it was. Ebola. Now, think about that.
Wow. Right.
Or typhoid fever. They're not sure. But even if you're thinking about Ebola way back then. So.
I thought Ebola was something new.
Apparently, it's not. Now, they had another plague from 165 to 180 A.D. The Roman soldiers, they said, likely brought smallpox home with them. So they were out when they went all around the world. When they came back, they brought it with them. And it laid waste to the army and may have killed over 5 million people in the Roman Empire. Smallpox. Wow. 5 million people. That one. You got another one that's a plague that hit. In 250 to 271 A.D., they had another one that was in the Byzantine Empire, 541 to 542, the bubonic plague. 10% of the world's population died. Now, man. I already told you about the Black Death. That was Asia to Europe. But I'm trying to get. Right. I'm gonna move this up to the American plagues in the 16th century. Now, you may remember your basic history in high school, Jamal. Although I do think you slept through a lot of those classes, I'm going to share this one with you. The collapse. Okay, you did catch that.
I'll pass.
Yeah, well, that's true. You did. You did. Actually, you did. So, at any rate, they think that the American. This now I'm talking about South and Central America, where the Incas and the Aztecs, that illnesses such as smallpox contributed to the collapse of the Inca and Aztec civilizations. Because everybody's always talking about whatever happened to those people. Remember. Some right. estimates suggest that 90% of the indigenous population of the Western Hemisphere was killed off. 90%. Now, that's why the Spanish forces, led by Cortez, all right, also Francisco Pizarro, conquered the Incas, because the Spanish took over those territories of both of those empires because of the fact that the disease had ravaged the armies so bad that they couldn't fight the Spanish. You know what I'm saying? They couldn't fight the Spanish off. So that's what happened. And I mean, so, you know, when we take a serious look at this business about pandemics, so people think that they're running around with these vaccines. Now, polio came out around 1921, Jamal, okay? So polio came out, and that killed a whole bunch of people. They didn't come out with a vaccine for polio until 1954. Now, that vaccine, I remember when we were young. Matter of fact, on my arm, and probably most of the baby boomers, so to speak, on their arm, we all have these little patches from where we got the polio vaccine. We all have them. And so in 1954, you know, obviously I was still just a baby, but I got it. It's still on my arm to this day, you know, from that vaccine. Now, polio, I think the last case of polio they said that was out there was 1979. You know, so they basically eradicated it by this Salk, Dr. Salk, S-A-L-K, is the one that came up with the polio vaccine. But back when we were younger, you could see people, Jamal, that had disabilities. They were walking with, you know, crutches or canes or their legs, you know, because of this polio. That impacted these young kids like this, you know, took away some of their ability to walk. It was a big deal. Now, I didn't realize that at the time, obviously, but as we grew up, we all knew about, you know, I had my polio shot because the schools would make sure you had your polio vaccine. I'm not so sure it didn't even have it for you guys. You want to know the truth? So I don't know.
Yeah, I would.
You know, maybe it's, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's a good point. I don't know. I mean, you said the last case of it was in 1979. That was the year after I was born. So that'd be interesting, something to look up.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I've got some immunization shots. Anyway, so it actually started in 1916. And the President Roosevelt was diagnosed with it in 1921 is what it was. But it actually started in 1916. And where did it start, Jamal? New York City. 27,000 cases to 6,000 deaths. See, this stuff, as you can see from this, this stuff is cyclical. It goes and it comes. This is not going to be our last pandemic. The countries have got to understand and prepare that this is just a part of living on this earth.
Now, are you sure that wasn't in Chinatown part of New York City?
Now, see,
where it started?
I ain't going there, Jamal. I don't know whether it was in Chinatown or anything
else.
Everything else was from China,
man.
listen, we got to respect everybody out there, man. I'm only giving historical. I'm not going to be speculating. You know, I'm just going by the information that I actually have and have received, you know. So we shall see. Hey, but Jamal, so I'm going to kind of end my piece with that, okay, because I wanted people to understand this business about pandemics and about how we need to be prepared, because this won't be the last one. So get our heads right about all this, get our heads wrapped around it. It may not be again, you know, we got a bunch of senior citizens. It may not be again in our lifetime, but who knows, okay, what the way some of this stuff is. Certainly the younger people have got to understand and make sure that as a nation and even globally that we're prepared for these things, because as we can see, it goes back 3,000 years ago. So they got to get ready. Right. And that's the bottom line. So I don't know.
Absolutely.
You know, you talk to these politicians, everybody wants to talk about how they didn't handle this right. But as I was reading this, through some of this material, those people back then, Jamal, were doing the same exact things that our governments are doing right now. Telling people about sheltering in place, staying inside, all of that's in there. It's the same thing. Right. So it's not new in terms of what the government's to tell. There's just more of us now that have more accessibility to the movie theaters, to the gyms, to the this or the that. You know, so, you know, these people are going to want to be out and about. You're not going to be able to hold us back. Okay. So it is what it is. We all take our chances. But you know what? Jamal, tell me. Who's on blast this week? Because I know that you were going to look somebody.
Man,
go ahead.
I got a couple of people to put on blast this week, man. Let's go. Let's get it. Earl Thomas, the safety for the Baltimore Ravens. His marriage is currently on the rocks after his wife found him having an orgy. His wife located him through social media, tracked him down with her female friend, busted in the door and pulled the gun out on him.
Really?
She's in jail. Yeah.
And so she's in jail. Well, I guess he wasn't doing anything illegal.
He wasn't doing nothing illegal.
I mean, morally speaking. And who was this from the Baltimore? This was from the Ravens football player?
Yeah, the Baltimore Ravens, Earl Thomas.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. This business is what people don't understand about technology, the internet, and all of this.
Social media.
You got to be leading it clean, or you're gonna get caught. I remember when I was in one of my classes when I was teaching for the University of Phoenix, and we were talking. I forget what the subject area was we were talking, but the issue that came up was one guy to talk about that he got put. I'll just call it on blast, Jamal, because of the fact that he was over to his girl. Now he was married, and he was over to his quote unquote girlfriend's house. And he had his cell phone, and he didn't realize the cell phone had called home. His wife was on the phone listening to everything going on.
Wow.
And he was talking about the fact, well, he was going through a divorce, and he was talking about how upset he was about it. It's like, hey.
Well, let's keep on track, man. There was somebody else that got caught, man, apparently over the last week, a newscaster. Because of the quarantine, the newscasters have been filming from home and live streaming. Well, while the newscaster was live on the air on national TV, his side girlfriend was walking half naked inside of the camera behind him in the distance. He got caught.
But here's what I don't understand. Where was he? Was he broadcast? First of all, if he's broadcasting for home, where was his wife? Could have been at work. Who knows? But
well, I guess he had a main girlfriend that he was dating. It wasn't a wife. It was a main girlfriend he'd been dating. Who also was a newscaster. And so everybody knew he was cheating because. And he said, of course, he said, it's not what it looked like. Okay.
It's not what it looked like. She's walking half naked behind him. It's not what it looked like. Just a friend that came over there. I had some sympathy for her, so she needed a place to stay. And I didn't realize, you know, that she had just stepped out of the shower. She didn't know I was broadcasting live.
Right. So those two, they're the blast of the week, man. Those two are the blast of the week.
You know what, Jamal? Now, interesting. They both had to do with infidelity, man. Go ahead.
Right. Hey, these were the funniest stories I saw this week, man. I couldn't help but laugh all week. Couldn't wait to get to this story.
I hear you.
But on to the sports section of the day.
Uh-huh.
Guess who's coming out of retirement, man, for boxing?
Who?
57-year-old.
Wait. Okay. I was going to say, let me guess. Who? Evander Holyfield?
Evander Holyfield, 57 years old, has made the announcement that he will be returning back to the ring. And he's not the only one. Iron Mike Tyson has been training. He said he's only going to be doing exposition fights for right now, but he has talked about coming out of retirement.
Jamal, how old is how? Do you know how old he is?
I'm not sure how he's in his 50s.
Mike Tyson?
He's in his 50s. Yeah. Mike Tyson's in his 50s. They're getting close to that 60-year-old range. But you know what? Here's what I say, man. I kind of don't blame him. Because if you look at the heavyweight champs right now, they all soft to me. So maybe they do have a chance. I mean,
Jamal,
you look at the top three
what
fighters.
What the hell kind of chance does Evander Holyfield have at 57 years old? Okay, Mike Tyson, I just looked it up on the internet. He's 53.
Okay.
Mike Tyson training at 53. And he's what, 59, you said? I tell you what, that's going to remind me of, Jamal. I went to a
grudge match.
No, I went to that. Now that you mentioned that one, yeah. But I went to a to the track one time. We only go to track every once in a while. But I went to the track one time, and these two guys got into, I don't know what the hell the argument was about, but they were older guys, Jamal. I mean older guys, and they got into this quote unquote fight. Jamal, they were throwing punches at each other that looked like it was slow motion. Jamal, I looked at it and said, man, these guys got about 3 minutes just to be able to move out of the way, seeing that punch coming. You know, it was like, I don't think they ever hit each other because the other one just had to move out the way. It was ridiculous. Now, you're telling me, now, George Foreman came back older when he was older. I'm trying to remember how old
that's
George
true.
Foreman was when he came. Huh?
Yeah, that's very true. I think, matter of fact, I think George Foreman won regained the heavyweight title at the age of 50. When he
was a little bit different because, George Foreman, he was a pretty big guy, okay? And he had been basically staying in shape because he had a gym down in Texas.
Right.
And I think he was training younger kids to box and all of that kind of stuff. And so that's one thing. But if they turn around and tell us that Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield are going to do an exhibition bout, isn't that the guy who he bit the air off of him? Is that the same one?
That's him. And now he can't wear his face mask during the pandemic because his ears got all intact to hold it up.
Oh, that's cold, man. You shouldn't be talking like that, man. He can't hold up the other side of his face mask. But, I had not heard. But look, I will agree with one thing. The heavyweight division, in my opinion, I don't even watch boxing anymore for the same reason. It's just not that exciting anymore. Now, Pacquiao, I think, is trying to get a fight with somebody. I mean, I don't know why he doesn't give it up, you know, but, you know, I guess he still feels it. These boxers, Jamal, they just can't say no to this at some point. I mean,
right.
Way back to one of the greats, Joe Louis, you know, who had basically won all of those fights, done all of that. Well, he had to come out of retirement because of the fact that he owed the IRS money. And
right.
So he came out of retirement because he had a lot of bills to pay. I don't know what Evander Holyfield's logic would be. Maybe he's hurting financially. I don't know. Okay. So maybe he's thinking about coming back to try and do some big bout where he can make some money or something like that. But I guess my question would be, who's going to fight him other than Mike Tyson trying to make some statement?
Everybody feels good till they get the first hit.
That's what Michael said. No. Mike Tyson said everybody has a plan until they get hit with the first punch. But that's true.
Right.
But who's he going to fight? Because you know he ain't going to fight some 20 or 30-year-old. I wonder if he and Mike Tyson had a discussion about this, man, to say, hey, man, why don't we do this?
Yeah, who knows, man? Who knows, man? Hey, good luck to both of them, man. I won't be paying for it on pay-per-view, but
you know it's going to be a pay-per-view situation, man, and I don't know who would want to pay for that.
Right.
I don't know. Well, first of all, I'm not even sure they can even do this right now with the pandemic. That's a close situation. I don't know if anybody's going to be boxing. Hell, time is against them. They may not be able to box till next year. Now, that means he's going to be 60 and the other one's going to be 54.
I heard it's going to be scheduled at the senior citizen home. That's what I heard, man. You know what I
mean? Oh, that's
in
cool,
the courtyard,
man. Remember,
in the courtyard of a senior living.
That's cool, man. Who knows? I don't know. Hey, have you been following this Michael Jordan series, by the way?
Yeah, man. That is a complete mess, man. Him and Isaiah Thomas is back beefing and mad at each other, man. And, you know, Isaiah Thomas to me, man, you know, he's crying about the whole, you know, we were unfairly called the bad boys and they gave us this reputation. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I kind of remember that era a little bit, man. Now, salute, you guys did what y'all had to do and played aggressive to win the championship. But come on, man, you guys, they were pretty dirty at the time.
Well, you know what? I remember all of them, Jamal. This might be worth talking about a little bit next week because I can see where our time has really run out. So, yeah. At any rate, once again, hey, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. We hope everybody had, you know, an enjoyable day. We know that it's kind of tough right now with all of this, but hey, we want everybody to be safe out there, right, Jamal?
Absolutely, man. And turn off your social medias, man. Don't post the dirt on social media, man. And that's my advice for the week.
All right. You've been listening to Jim Potts and Jamal Potts on LA Talk Radio. It's time to close out the show. Hey, be sure to join us next week. And if you like what you heard, spread the word. Until then, be aware, be vigilant, and be safe. Until next week, everybody. Bye.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.